Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Boo! Boo! Brian House. Give a guy a.
Yeah, he really went for like 3-3-0-0-0. It is time.
That's right. Oh, look, I got him. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back. Yeah, you guys didn't hear him just coming on the talk back going, yep, I got him.
He's like, that's right. Welcome back. That's right.
Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today make sense, even if he catches us unawares.
Exactly. I'm Molly Wood. It is Hollowed Out Shell Thursday, and Brian Allison is taking Kai at his word, born ready,
no,
which I believe is one of your many catchphrases.
Which I've said a time or two, I think. All right, we got lots of links that we have to work our way through here. So begin, I suppose.
Yeah, we do. Some are brief. It's like update, Hollowed Out Shell update Thursday. Delta, oh my goodness, the Delta variant. Pfizer says it is developing a booster shot already to target the Delta variant because it is highly transmissible and seems to be causing some minor breakthrough infections. And I want to be clear, like the people who are getting this who have already been vaccinated are getting very mild cases. Two shots really works. Johnson & Johnson's one shot works at preventing serious illness. Maybe a few more people are getting a minor illness as a result. And Pfizer said out of an abundance of caution, because the mutation is spreading quickly, they're going to develop, and frankly, they had already intended to develop a booster shot, assuming that many of us would need, you know, updates within 6 to 12 months. The reason I bring this up is to say, one, get both shots the one Johnson & Johnson shot, and then trust it, right? Because the vaccines really work. And two, that despite our tendency, like you can already see all this panic. There was a UCSF doctor who had a big tweet thread the other day who was, you know, trending, basically saying like, guys, we cannot let ourselves fall into some huge panic about this mutation and like not open school and, you know, all of the things that it's going to be tempting to do, because the vaccines work and they are highly manipulatable. Like because this mRNA, it's like a little piece of software, right? So they just write some new code, put out the new booster, boom, boom, Bob's your uncle. Like the vaccines not only are effective in their current form, it is very, very, very easy to update them for new variants. So while you should be really, really worried if you're not vaccinated, get your vaccine and don't freak out.
Yeah, I think it was Bob Wachter at UCSF. He does a bunch of long tweet threads about, you know, contextualizing this thing.
Right.
John Berman, who I do not watch on CNN.
Was it not Bob Wachter?
Oh, well, then
I know. I thought that too. I was like, oh, my guy, Bob, but it wasn't, which shocked me. Anyway,
So John Berman, who I do not watch on CNN in the mornings, but who I do follow on Twitter, said something interesting the other day on the air, which he then tweeted about. We have entered the optional phase of this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Think about that, right? It's optional now for you.
Yeah.
You don't actually have to get sick.
Yep.
Right? And you're like, wow. Yeah, I guess that's true, right?
Yeah. That's true.
So.
And it's brutal. Brutal. Yep. Monica Gandhi and Kyle Hunter are the ones who I think wrote about it and said that there are costs to this, you know, this panic and heightened panic that could end up doing more harm than good. Assuming that you're vaccinated and have made that choice. Wowzer. Yeah. Optional. Not so shocking news. Japan is not going to have any fans in the stands in Tokyo during the Olympics, which evidently will still happen. I'm sure that NBC is twisting arms left and right. And I don't mean to suggest that they're, you know, trying to get people killed out here or anything, but like you can't, nobody who is set to make any money wants the Olympics to be canceled at this point. And yet the Delta variant is spreading very quickly in Japan. They've announced a new state of emergency and although they're going to have athletes fly in from all over the world with all of their trainers and staff and put them all in one big village, there won't be fans in the stand. I'm sure everybody feels much better about that in Japan.
I'm excited to watch the Olympics as the next person, but it just seems unwise.
It is going to be, I just feel like every minute of it is going to be tainted by the fact that, like, people are going to die as a result of this.
Yeah, and there are going to be counts every day of this person got sick, this person passed, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really hard to feel good about it, even as an Olympics lover. And then finally, and this one crept up, that's all I had planned to talk about today until Wells Fargo once again apparently just went in a room and was like, how can we make everybody mad at us? Yeah. Wells Fargo, toward the end of today, decided it's going to shut down all of its personal lines of credit. So a personal line of credit is if you bank, you know, if you bank with a bank, you can essentially get some credit with them between $3,000 and $100,000 at Wells Fargo. It's a way for people to consolidate their high interest credit card debt, pay for home renovations. I did that when I bought my house, avoid overdraft fees because you have this line of credit that you can draw from if you, you know, use all your money in a checking account. Mm-hmm. They're great. Consumers love them. Wells Fargo has decided, I assume because it paid its CEO too much or just is trying to restructure its various businesses, to close these products and alerted customers, I think with like 1 or 2 days notice.
Yeah.
That, by the way, when we close this line of credit that you may or may not rely on, it will also negatively impact your credit as if you had closed a credit card. Like when you cancel a card, shows up on your credit report as a ding because it says like, oh, this person has access to less credit. Don't get me started on how screwed up it is how we assess creditworthiness.
Yes.
But yeah, just told people like, hey, it's a change. We're just going to get rid of this product and ding your credit in the interim.
Yeah, it's Wells Fargo has demonstrated repeatedly over the past, 8 to 10 years, how not customer friendly it is. And here's one more, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And part of this is happening because of these ongoing like compliance problems, because it was opening all these fake accounts in people's names, it has, there's a cap. Like the Fed won't let them take out money, I think, right? They've got this asset cap, which means they've had these lower earnings, and that may be part of the reason why they're doing this. Although it seems odd because it's a really, you know, popular product that also earns the bank interest.
Yes.
It is a frankly baffling move that
you're just
designed.
Peeving people off. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but whatever. The CFO made some decision. So mine is a shot in a chaser kind of thing. So there was an excerpt in the New York Times today of what promises to be a fascinating new book from Shira Frankel and Cecilia Kang over at the New York Times. And they have written a book about Facebook. It is called An Ugly Truth Inside Facebook's Battle for Domination. The excerpt was very dishy but totally interesting because they led with the breakdown in the relationship between Mark Zuckerberg, the founder and CEO, and Sheryl Sandberg, the chief operating officer. And anybody who's been looking at Facebook the last, you know, what is it, almost 20 years now, right? More than that. Has been paying attention to the dynamic between these two, because Sheryl Sandberg is smooth and polished and presents well and has a resume a mile long and is just super, super impressive. And Zuckerberg, even though he founded a nation state, is not any of those things. And so that dynamic has been really interesting. And what this article says, what the excerpt says, is that the Trump years basically broke that relationship. And it's totally interesting and fascinating. And I'm looking forward to reading this book. It's in the New York Times today. Read the excerpt. But so that's the shot. The chaser is, and props to David Gura, now at NPR, but also formerly of Marketplace, for spotting this today. Like hours after this article dropped, what happens in Sun Valley, Idaho at the big media poobah conference? Who do you see parading before the cameras? Smiling? Why Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg? Waving and saying to the cameras, no comments, not taking any questions, but clearly having a grand old time chatting along in the Idaho wilderness. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
They're fun. They're besties. And looking right at the camera.
It
big,
was great.
Huge grins.
You're like, come on,
and what's
man.
So amazing, too, is that the first photo used to illustrate this excerpt is a photo of the two of them from Sun Valley, Idaho in 2014.
Yep. Yep. But you know what?
It
you know
is
what's
really
also
dishy.
Great, actually? Sorry about this book. Yeah, super dishy. What's great about this book is the dust jacket. The front is Zuckerberg up close, really up close, with the title An Ugly Truth. And then you flip it over on the back, and there's Sandberg up close and personal on a close-up shot. And then there are some quotes from them talking about all the time, not talking about, responding to all the times that Facebook screwed up, basically. Zuckerberg, September 2006. Calm down. Breathe. We hear you. Sheryl Sandberg, July 2014. We never meant to upset you. Zuckerberg, I ask for forgiveness and I will work to do better. And it goes on like that. There's a half a dozen of them. Oh, it's craziness.
Amazing.
Craziness. Yeah.
Amazing. I can't wait for this book. There are many, you know, and I really, I have to say, at first, when I heard the book was coming out, I love both of those reporters. They're fantastic. And I was like, I don't want to read a book about Facebook. And now that I've read that, I mean, it's totally, I was working.
Yep.
Two things that stood out to me that were kind of surprising. One is there is a version of this excerpt about the fraying relationship between the two of them that could serve as a minor laundering of Sheryl Sandberg's own reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Like if successfully, you know, she's able to extricate herself from the decisions, at least during those 4 years that led up to, you know, more and more violence being fomented on Facebook, then it may absolve her of some responsibility. I'm not saying it should or even would, but it's interesting, right? The more you can distance yourself from what was happening, then presumably the better. Totally. And there's a description of Katie Couric asking Sheryl Sandberg, like, are you worried about your legacy? Which, but then the other thing I've just found amazing and could not stop sending to my friends was in the description of how the two of them met. They met, they had this nice conversation in 2014.
Yeah.
And then I'm just kidding. This is like, right? You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Ms. Sandberg would go on to tell Dan Rose, a former vice president at Facebook, that she felt she had been, quote, put on this planet to scale organizations.
Yeah. It was like, it was a little bit of a meet cute with an eye roll. It was unbelievable.
I mean, what? Yeah. Like, I live in and around Silicon Valley. You know, I live in the Bay Area, the tech hub, and this is genuinely how people talk. But I sort of feel like if I had been put on this planet to be nice to dogs, I would feel better about that as a like a life goal. Scale organizations. That's my jam. That's it.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
Wow. Yeah, it's a corker. You should go read it. Yeah, all right. Happy place. We're already laughing.
There we go. I know. We're already laughing. All right. So I got two. One is just a little ha-ha, and then the other one was just total shock and horror. So first of all, in a press release the other day, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, referred to Donald Trump, the former president of the United States, as this. Quote, twice impeached Florida retiree and de facto leader of the Republican Party, Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. I just love that. Oh, snap to whoever writes her press releases. I mean, come on. Come on.
That is cold.
Right? How good was that?
How good was that?
Yes. So here's my real thing, though, that I found late in the day. It's a tweet from a woman who goes by the handle Paulie WR, living in Manhattan. And when I saw this an hour ago, it had 88 retweets. 88. Not 8. Not 888. Not 88,088. Mm-hmm. Now it has 6,800 retweets because apparently the weather was really bad in New York today. Lots of rain. And they have flooding problems in the subway systems of New York. And this woman shot a video from the number one line, the 157th Street station. And if you've ever been in New York, you know, you go down the subway stairs and then you walk through a little corridor and then you get to the gate and to the train. So here's a woman in New York City subway flood water going into it up to her waist to get to the train. New York City subway flood water. It is more urine than water. That's all I'm going to say. Cool. Let alone rats and, people are going and snakes
in
and
to
yes,
it.
Yes, you have to click on this link. It's craziness. Tony's going to put it on the show page. There's a bunch of them. It's just insanity. I don't know what's the matter with the city of New York.
Although we could buzzkill this in a million different ways vis-a-vis climate change and infrastructure and stuff, let's just go with let's just go with New Yorkers are tough. Because then people give the whole thread is of people coming in after her, like, well, I got to get
and
a train.
They're tough, but they're not too bright. Yeah.
We're tired of hearing about your mayoral race, but you know what? You're tough.
That's right.
I'm going to give you that.
Yeah.
I saw this bananas thing. This is just like classic internet hilarious clickbait that kind of worked on me, which is that evidently on TikTok, Ritz Crackers, the official account, posted about why Ritz has a scalloped edge. And they were like, oh, yeah, everyone thinks it's just because it's so pretty. And then it cuts to a plate and there's a slice of cheese on the plate and someone holding a Ritz cracker and rolling it along the cheese to make a cut.
No.
And then the caption says, this is what they're actually for.
That's
scallops,
not
so you can use it to cut your cheese.
That's not what they're actually for. I'm sorry, I'm clicking on it right now. You can hear it.
Yeah.
That's not
it's
what
hilarious.
They're actually for.
No one on Twitter seemed to believe it, but I will say, funny.
It does sort of look perforated.
It looks pretty too perforated. Good. You just make your little... And all these people are like, that's a Druid break. I'm not trying to sell any more Ritz crackers, but they sold so many Ritz crackers with that TikTok. So like, well played.
Fair enough. Totally fair.
Because it was hilarious. That is it for us today. Don't forget to sign up for the Make Me Smart newsletter this week. We're looking at the jobs market, you know, like we sometimes do, urban tree equity. And Shark Week. I'm just going to jump in real quick and say I've been watching Shark Fest on National Geographic, which I don't.
Really?
Usually I'm a Shark Week girl. But they had Chris Hemsworth, and that worked on me. Dude, every one of those shows is like, we went to a place that had an increase in shark attacks, and then we floated theories that range from the normal to the insane, like missing Malaysian flight, and whatever is why there's an increase in shark attacks. And then they have their like shark biologist go, no, that's not it. But every episode is like, maybe it's the black sand. Maybe it's radioactive genetic mutant sharks.
No, that's not it.
That's not it. And then at the end of every episode, they're like, there's more people in the water and they interact with the sharks more. Like, it is a weird...
Wow.
Shark Fest is weird. It's weird.
Look, they got a lot of content holes to fill. That's the challenge.
That really is the challenge.
All right. I am out tomorrow, taking the afternoon off. Kimberly is going to come join Molly for Economics on Tap and the YouTube live stream. It is, as always, 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. Join him. It'll be fun. YouTube, Discord, the whole deal. Everything.
It'll be great.
Everything.
I gotta up my drink
Every
game,
thing.
Though, if it's gonna be Kimberly. Shoot.
Well, you're gonna have to get a cocktail. You
shrub.
Can't just do like a glass of wine. Or here's some tequila. No, you gotta do some.
You know, I gotta get serious now.
I know.
Shrub.
Today's episode of Make Me Smart was engineered by one Brian Allison. Bridget Bodner is the senior producer from now till like forever, I think.
Forever. Erica Phillips writes and produces our Make Me Smart explainers and our weekly newsletter, where you can send all your reading recommendations and Shark Fest reviews. Tony Wagner takes care of our podcast publishing needs, including, I know it's your favorite, the show notes. We just like to throw them at them in real time.
Put them there. That's right. Surprise! Here's one.
We'll be like,
Tony, do this.
Did you see that link about blah, blah, blah? And Tony's all, oh, crap. Type.
It's already on. Did it. Done.
Did Boom. It. Done.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.